All right, and welcome back, everyone, to another episode of Snack Time with Mike and Ant. I'm one of your co-hosts, Ant Tessitore, a freelance writer of names and flavor text for Wizards of the Coast and writer at Gathering Magic.
Snack Time.
With me, as always, interrupting me, as always, is Vorthos Mike.
Good to see everyone again. I'm Vorthos Mike. You can use the Googles. I've done flavorful things. I've worked in the industry doing art things. I write now. I've done contractual things. But no one cares. You can Google both of us. We're going to get right into it. Four episodes.
More importantly, Mike, you just got back from...
I just got back from GP Vegas. Biggest Magic event ever. Forever, ever. Yes. Forever, ever. So this week, recaps. We're going to talk about
it. And this is more, honestly, for me, because I, unfortunately, was unable to go to Vegas.
You were just TC.
Which
she was, you a big... You were,
sucked. Oh, my God. I just had to follow everybody on Twitter. So.
Big timing. Just way too busy. Way too cool. So, recaps. A lot to talk about. I love Magical Christmas Land. It brought me back into the game because of Evan Irwin's just excited hype. I mean, it gets you back in. So, start us off. Flavor Gems. Ant, what you got for me? Go.
All right, this week I got Agonizing Memories. I'm looking at the newer art from 10th edition. Word. And the flavor text on this card is, in the aftermath of war, when the slaying is long done, the greatest miseries come home to roost. Mm-hmm. And, you know, if you look at the art, it's kind of showing you the same character twice. He's thinking back to this moment in a battle where either he killed someone or maybe he's standing over someone that he knew that died. We don't really know. The gist isn't there. But the important thing to take away from it is, you know, it's playing up this idea of the agonizing memories of war and how it can kind of have effect on you after the fact. And I really like this this idea because it's different from the typical just like in the moment, in your face type of concept. And it's really interesting. And also, the name is vague enough that you can attribute it to a totally different idea. So if you go back to its original printing in Weatherlight, the flavor text is attributed to Karn, and he's talking about the memory of the first time he killed a man, and that's kind of the reason why he's a pacifist. So I like the fact that they took this in a slightly different route and gave it a more generic flavor.
What about the 7th edition? The tweener.
Oh, the Southern Paladin
call? Yeah!
So that one is even more interesting, I think, because so that quote is, yeah, I think little of the foes I've slain, but I'm haunted by the friends I've sent to die. And it's a quote by the Southern Paladin. That's a really interesting concept where when he's in battle and he's fighting his enemy, he can, like, you know, care less if he's, you know, killing somebody who's trying to kill him. But if it's somebody that he cared about and somebody that he had an emotional bond with, then he's kind of torn up about it. But if you think about it, there was somebody else who had an emotional bond with the person that he killed. So it's this weird kind of juxtaposition of two different thought processes and like two different ideas on one card, which is pretty cool.
It's just a strange thing to see this. It's the exact, the card does not change mechanically. The art changes, you know, once. And in that singular change, it's, you almost see the original artwork didn't quite fit mechanically with what it actually was trying to do. I mean, it's really, really simple. I mean, looking at their hand, you put, you know, on top, put them on top of the library. So you take things in hand and you kind of put it so you relive it. And you're like, okay, well, how can that affect you? Like, okay, we're going to make this post-traumatic stress disorder. How are different ways of flavor text we can write that? And it seems like there's iterations in even doing that. They're like, oh, yeah, Karn did that. You're like, well, yes. But what if you can't relate to Karn? Oh, what do we try as Southern Paladin? Okay, yes, he, you know, he sucks that his friends died. But then at the last thing, it's more open-ended saying, ooh, war's real bad. But there are, you know, once it's done, you know, the haunting evil things that you keep reliving over and over and over again, like mechanically putting the card back in the library, is something that keeps returning, i.e. casting this the second time in the game, casting it the third time in the game, casting it the fourth time in the game, or if you have recursion. It kind of gives this eerie sort of way, weird way to look at this concept, because a discard is like losing the memory, but
right.
Putting it on pocket the library, it's like this, you're aware it's there, and it's going to
It's almost like it's haunting you.
It is.
You know you're going to draw it again, right?
It's grinding away at you. And, you know, most people don't even see that in this card or don't even read it. They're just like, oh, yeah, it's an Adam Rex painty head art. Okay, cool.
Honestly, the coolest thing is, like, this card is a great representation of everything that I love about flavor and Vorthos stuff and Magic. Because when you really think about it, it's all the same card. It's one thing that does one. It's one sorcery that just looks at, you know, their hand, puts it on the library, right? Same card every time.
Sure.
But the flavor treatment is different three different ways to a point where it almost feels like three completely different cards.
Right. Yeah, I totally agree with that. All right.
So what do you got for us this week?
I got exactly what a recap would be as we are talking about, you know, this summarizing things. And I chose the card Living Wish. And Living Wish is from one of the more reclusive artists named Eric Peterson. And in it, it has some sort of djinn of sorts.
It's Urnam Digin, man.
It could be. We don't know. It's too late for that.
No, he was reprinted in Judgment.
I mean, after the fact now, you're just like, who is this guy? Like, you literally have to be in this set to know what the hell is going on.
It's the Hulk in a loincloth.
Right. You're like, green guy? Like
with some kind of church
horn thing?
Service.
Whatever. But I mean, this
caterpillar.
Is...
Gold
this
caterpillar.
Little caterpillar, maybe? This is old school Magic art that has this Greg Hildebrandt 1980s super stylized pose. Their musculature is always shown. And for some, we look at this because we have Donato and Chris Ron, and we're like, oh, it's kind of cheesy. But if you actually see these paintings up close and look at the other people in the painting, like the people in the background, the fire treatment, even showing the trees and the landscape in the background, they're actually really, really beautiful. And the originals, of course, always better looking. But this actually represents me this weekend. This was my living wish, is to go to a very large event and immerse myself into what I wanted to do. And this is a flavor text I actually read, Ant, and said, wish for growth, but not a way to control it. And this art thing that, you know, I've been working on and you've been working on, or this flavorful thing for the last few years, is finally expanding beyond things that I didn't even know about. And that's such a freaking cool thing, because I got informed of people's projects. Oh, I'm working on this thing. And I'm like, I had no idea. And that was really, really, really fun for me. And it made me immediately think of this card to be like, holy crap, this thing just came real.
Right. What did I tell you at the beginning of this year? I said 2015 is going to be the year of the Vorthos.
Oh, my God.
And we're only halfway through the year, and already we've had so many things that have been moving through the Vorthos community. It's been amazing.
So even today.
But we'll get to that. I got to get this recap, man. I got to know what went down at GP Vegas. What kind of Vorthos things did I miss out on?
Okay, so from the exterior, looking out in, you saw there were over 30 artists, which was massively ridiculous, to the point that it's unwieldy, and a lot of people really were nervous, especially our other artists that weren't there, to say, if you have 30 artists, how is anyone going to make any money? Because there's a finite amount of dollars people are going to spend.
Right.
And what people really didn't think about was how many people are there for days on end. I mean, a normal GP, you're there for maybe 2 days. Three if you're, you know, really, really dedicated to it. But this, most people came in on like Tuesday or Wednesday. So that means
they made like a mini vacation out of it.
It was, right. It was not a GP. It was a convention.
Oh, okay.
This is Magic's first real convention, and no one knew it. Everyone working the staff knew it, but no one there knew it. They're like, oh, yeah, it's a GP, and there's a bunch of cool stuff, and I'm going to check it out. It's like, no. This is a con, and you're starting to see some con-like stuff, unofficial side event, which is the vintage artist constructed, which I'll get to in a minute. There's a ton of artists. There's special things happening at night. People are planning giant parties to throw. Like, there was legitimately convention-style everything. Including, you know, where to go, what to do. But since it was so large, artists finally wise up to that to say, listen, I can't sign 800 cards straight. I'm going to put a limit to say I will sign 12 cards or 10 cards for free, and after that I'm going to charge a buck each.
Right.
But since you're there for 5 days, you're like, well, I brought 20 cards to sign. Can I just give you $10 as a tip? And most of the time, artists are like, it's not for you. It's really to prevent me signing 300 cards when I have a line. A couple bucks, though, that's totally fine. Turns out when you do that for 4 days, you get $3 here, $2 there, $4 there. You're walking out with, a couple $100 just out of tips from signing cards, not even counting play mats, not even counting all the tokens and all the other jazz that you can pick up. So really, out of the 30 artists, there might have been two or three that might not have had an awesome time, but they also didn't bring that much stuff. I mean, you can't just show up and be like, yeah, I've got three things. Sweet. It's like, you're here for 4 days. There's like 11,000 people here. You can't just
Right.
bring three things. No. So
So
that
you're
I was.
saying that somebody like our boy Randy, he probably killed it.
Oh
Like
yeah,
he
I
probably
mean,
cleaned house.
Arcapo's just crushed it. I mean, you're selling tokens at 50 cents a piece, two for a buck. Doesn't sound that big a deal. But when
Right.
there's, four people in line, you might get four tokens and a sketch and a play mat, and all of a sudden you're walking out of there $25. Not a big deal for a visitor that's there for 4 days, especially when he had not one but two exclusive play mats
Right.
that people take that, they round up, you put your play mat at $50, you got 10 extra bucks because you have 320s because you had to get an ATM. You might get a sketch for five on the back of an artist proof five, boom, $60,
Now,
or
Zach
tokens.
Stella, he had a playmat too, right?
He did, yeah. He had a True Name Nemesis, hand-drawn playmat, and those sort of things with, when it was quiet during your time, you could totally draw one up. And I think a lot of people didn't realize you can do that. That you can just walk up to them and say, hey, I notice you don't have a line. If I give you like $100 or $200, would you draw me a playmat from now, which I'm arriving here Thursday morning, till Sunday? And some of them will say, some artists will say no, but some of them will say, sure, I'll slowly work on this. That's totally fine. I don't want to it affect my line or whatever. I'll bring it, at evening, and you're going to get an amazing piece of art.
Or if
So,
you're me, you can go up to the land table, notice Lars Grant West, and go, I guess I'll just go through his playmat bin and actually find one that he was sketching because he was bored and buy it for $30.
yeah, like that actually happens more often than not, but I don't want people to think that, playmats are dirt cheap. But you totally can. There's usually like one or two of them. You're like, hey, I've got a blank white one. Would you do a little sketchy sketch? I just saw one where there was a guy that asked artists, hey, would you draw me
Ooh,
just a
that's
quick
cool.
portrait? And they had all a bunch of the artists just draw one depiction in their style. It was super cool.
Yeah, that is cool.
I mean,
That's
maybe in
kind
the
of like a
future.
caricature, but not because it's
Exactly,
done in the
because it's
style of the artist. That's
right.
pretty sweet. It's a cool idea.
Maybe I'll do it with the wiener dogs one time and be like, hey, listen,
Ooh,
I
with
got three
milk.
wiener dogs. Which one
Milk,
do you want to
milk.
paint? Just give me one of them. And there's just dogs all over my mat. I mean, that's a thing.
So what were the artists that had the really long lines?
Okay, so the really long line one, you'd think Randy Post, but no, he was a concept guy for like 15 years. He draws very, very fast. The longest ones were Raymond Swanland. He just made Ugin. I mean, it's super timely for him to be there. And his hours weren't super long each day. It's not like he was there till 10 o'clock each night, I mean, he was there from 12 to 5, and the last day he was
Do
only
you
there for
think that
12.
that's better for an artist? Like, do you think that that played to his favor going in saying like, look, I'm only going to be here for 4 hours, and maybe that generated a line than if everybody thought, oh, he's going to be there all day, I'll just hit him up before I leave?
I mean, that's a legitimate question. That's why I posted in that article to say, here are the hours when all those guys would be there. The problem is if you're not the standard for people, like if you're not like a opening till like 5 or 6, people aren't going to know when you're there. They're going to check first thing in the morning and be like, ooh, is there a short line? It's like, oh, they're not here yet.
Right.
So of anything, I would say be there when it opens, and you could trail off at the end of the day because that's fine. But I think being there when the thing opens each day and even early, because there's always platinum people, high-end VIPs, even vendors who will sneak over and buy something from you during the day. And those micro sales like that really add up to a ton of freaking money. It's playmat here, sketch there, whatever. It could be a couple $100 over the last few days.
Right.
So he had a long, Chris Ron had a long line. It's Planeswalkers. Totally. Chris Rush had lines some of the time, but not all the time. So you people check back a lot. That was really, really common. Because if you're there again from Thursday to Sunday, you're not gonna just wait in line the whole day and spend 4 hours doing that. No. You're gonna do some stuff, come back, some stuff, come back, and kind of figure out what you need for that. But in doing so, you had to get there early because of the exclusives.
So what kind of exclusives did they have? Like, give me an idea. What are some of the, like, I know that some of them had play mats, but did they have other stuff?
Sure. Well, I mean, you got to think of exclusives of as yes, low numbers of play mats. Arcade Post had a really, really cool Friends when we had like Grizzle Band and a couple guys, but whatever. It would be more so things you can't normally buy from them because you don't think they have. For example, Jeff Mangus had original transfer drawings, like original
Okay.
sketches. Like he had one from Legends even.
Wow. Which
And
one do you know? Did you get a chance to check it out?
yeah, actually I did. I checked out all of his. It was a Firestorm Phoenix.
Oh, okay.
You know, six drop, 3-2, comes back in your hand, whatever. And
Does Phoenix things. So
does Phoenix things. What did you expect it to do? So those sort of things are exclusive of sorts because these people don't go to a ton of events. I mean, how often are you going to be able to see Ken Meyer Jr. and his cool playmats that he has, or I don't know. Drew Baker had a handmade picture depiction of Elspeth where she's, you know, holding her mask. And, you know, those sort of really,
really?
yeah, like it's really weird stuff that you wouldn't normally see or think of. Because you're like, well, why would, yeah, of course they have that stuff. Well, if they don't have a, put it in their store online, you don't know what they brought. So those sort of are exclusive things to the con because they bring it to the con because they think they can sell this at the convention.
Right,
And it has to be big
okay.
enough, otherwise you won't bring that sort of stuff because it won't sell at a normal GP. It'll only sell at a big one.
So, in like the whole, you keep saying it was a convention, but like when I think of convention, I think of panels and talks and game like demos and like all kinds of like more than just a tournament or playing a game.
Sure.
So like, was any of that going on?
Well, I mean, there was some. I mean, there wasn't exactly like sit down at the panel and hear about the thing, or there's going to be a talk or a live drawing demo. Those sort of things didn't happen, largely because, you know, logistics. This had to double from last year and not break. That was the
Right.
first thing. Can you make the main event and all the side events not break? Okay, clearly, yes. There was a couple of hiccups, but it's huge. That's
Right.
fine.
So they kind of prove that, but do you think that there's market for in the like maybe, Grand Prix Vegas next year,
Well,
right?
I mean, yeah, obviously that's going to happen. I mean, Vegas will happen in every 2 years because why the hell wouldn't
Or
it?
2 years,
It's
right.
very helpful. But it's the thing if Grand Prix that are big enough. For example, Minneapolis might not have a talk from a Wizards employee, but I mean, even in Nebraska, a friend of mine, an art collector, friend, buddy of mine, April King, organized an artist panel. Brought all the artists up to a stage, and she asked them questions. There was audience participation, and it was easy, super simple. She recorded it, put it on Gathering Magic. Everyone loved it, and it really wasn't that hard. And I think that sort of thing could happen with ease at a large scale thing like GP Vegas, where it would be okay. There's 30 artists. We're going to close down this section for lunch for these guys, and then before they come back from their lunch, it's going to be a half an hour panel.
Right.
And they're going to talk about, I don't know, depicting a planeswalker or creating a landscape or being on a concept team, more than just things for players. To bring in some of the local artist community, they're like, hey, I want to be a magic artist and give something to them. And that sort of increased dwell time will force people to stay an extra half an hour. And every extra minute you stay increases side event percentage of joining. And that's
Right.
good. And it would be great to have a kickoff. You know, you could have everything from an art show would be super cool. You could have a released artwork, just like they do at PAX. You could have one thing where there'd be, you know, a bunch of chairs, maybe in a side event area, and there'd be a screen, and you could easily, you know, do it like BlizzCon does, where they post it up there, and easily say, all right, at 2:30 on Friday, you better be there because we're gonna reveal something.
Right.
And the cost to do that is zero,
Right,
really.
because they're all and they're all there already, and you know that the audience is
Exactly,
like
exactly.
100% your audience too, which is cool.
Exactly. And the
So
hype would be
actually
hope.
speaking of BlizzCon, then one of the other things that they do is they do like a cosplay contest. And I mean, Magic has definitely started to show that there's a lot of interest in cosplaying their characters. Like maybe they could do something like that too. I mean, they're
I
all
think
there anyway.
very, very easily done. The hardest part about cosplay is they can't sell prints. I mean,
Why?
well, it's copyrighted. It's a copyrated
Oh,
character,
right. Yeah,
Planeswalker.
that's true.
Now, if you're saying, "Oh, I live on Theros," like, well, then no one cares. It really is an IP issue that Wizards likes cosplay, clearly, but there is a problem with being able to finance it from a cosplayer's perspective. It's
Right.
incredibly expensive. There's always damage with shipping stuff, and
Or
to have
wind, excessive wind in Ugin's
wings are
face.
usually the problem.
Jeez.
But there could be, really interesting ways that there could be a cosplay workshop where they go through and maybe Christine Sarango could get explained. Let's say, oh, okay, this is actually how you do this. This is how you get it to stay on for an entire day. You don't use tape or you don't use glue. Let me show you. And then maybe it's like a side event that you could sign
Right.
up to do it, and then you have, 2, 3 hours to work on with something, and then you could pay the cosplayer to put on a workshop.
I'm just picturing MJ sitting there with a yoga mat, cutting it up and melting it with a hairdryer into armor shapes.
Oh, she totally would. She'd have like glitter and crap everywhere.
Dumping poster paint all over, like
Oh
all
my
over the
goodness.
place. That'd be
Well, if you gotta do
hilarious.
it, you gotta do it. But that sort of thing is what you'd expect at a con.
Yeah, that's
Absolutely.
true. That's
It doesn't
true.
need to be in the main hall, or it could be in a corner. But if you're already there, and there's your event doesn't start for 2 hours, you go check that out for a little bit, or you're like, sure, I'll sign up for this thing.
Yeah.
Because, the opportunity cost is zero for you, and the cost to implement it is, maybe a hotel for Sprankle, maybe, a little stipend that is legitimately nothing in the grand scheme of things. Or it's even product to say, well, we're going to give you two or three booster boxes, which you just assume, they'll just keep it. But they could sell that for, to cover costs. And those
Yeah.
sort of things aren't that hard. They're super not difficult. It's just the first concept has to be proven first.
Yeah. So the other, I mean, the other thing that they had too was the side events, right? Like you participated in that Artist Constructed, right? Vintage
All
Artist
right.
Constructed.
Yeah, they had that on the Twitch stream even. They interviewed a bunch of us,
I
and
saw. It
it was quite ridiculous.
was so funny. Oh my God, it was hilarious. I was dying. I was dying, dying laughing when
We'll
you
have to put
were.
a link. We'll have to put a link in the
Oh,
bottom.
I'm absolutely putting a link in the show notes for sure.
Okay,
Absolutely.
we'll put that in there. But it was super fun. It's this idea that we've been kicking around of flavorful deck building, but no one's done it on a big scale. It's Ironroot Chef, the challenge for the Community Cup is really the only big visible thing people have seen.
Yeah.
And it had a subjective quality.
You
This,
had like 18, right? There were 18
yeah,
people
we had
there.
18 people there.
Yeah.
18 people for an unsanctioned event Friday afternoon the day before. So if people are grinding and playing, they're going to show up Friday night for just Saturday and Sunday, right? So they
Right.
had 18 people. There was a large variety of different decks. I think any sort of our flavorful commander concepts, don't lend to that because, it's competitive. Someone has to win, clearly. And that's kind of against that flavorful thing. But if you use an artist as your limiting factor, then you got to make just oppressively aggressive decks. And it worked for that. It totally did. The very few rogue decks that I did notice, though. Greg Staples was very popular.
Yeah.
I mean, Baneslayer Angel, when it was out, was j it's just such
Really
a
hard to deal
it's
with.
super, super hard to deal with, and it's as soon as it hits the board, you need to deal with it right away because five life and like first strike are just
Yeah.
ridiculous.
It's so see, it seems like maybe it's kind of like an in between limited and constructed. Like, you know, if you have a bomb, it's really gonna take over, similar to a limited game, but you still have somewhat tools to deal with it. Like you had four, would you have disintegrate or
No,
terminate? You had four terminates in
I
your
had
deck,
four
so
Terminate and four Dreadbolt.
Baneslayer was nothing to you, right?
Yeah, I mean, I had 8 ways to kill that, and I had 4 ways to kill Planeswalkers. So, I mean, I wasn't as nervous as other people
Right.
because I kind of played a rogue deck. Chris Moeller has Lightning Bolt, Chain Lightning, the best equipment from Kamigawa block, arguably. And, he has Goblin Lackey into Siege Gang. I mean, just a ridiculously strong deck, but if you don't hit the removal, or if someone mainboards pro red, you just lose. And many people did. Most people had pro red stuff everywhere in their sideboard because they knew it
Right.
was coming. I did, and I crushed someone because of it. I just absolutely
You're
annihilated
such a spike. Oh
them.
my
Yeah, that's how I
God.
do. That's how I
You
do.
spike. You're
I'm
so
a 4-post
spiky.
spike. You're not. You're a 10.
I'm no, dude, I'm not. I'm like a group hug, like, hey, look at my theme.
I'm
Look
having a
at my
great.
don't put those shoes on, Emrakul. What is wrong with
Does you know how
you?
many feet he has? Just
God, he has a bunch
ridiculous.
of tentacles.
Well, that's the other deck that I found. I played Wayne Reynolds, and another guy played Wayne Reynolds, and he played a ton of goblins. And I'm like,
Yeah.
that seems fun, but I'm gonna crush your goblins with my giant rat woman. How about that?
Oh
Ninjutsu is terrifying, and
my
Inkai's
God. We
stomped
all
faithless.
remember that was the funniest thing from that interview. You're like, we all remember ninjutsu. It's scary. You don't know what's coming. Is this a little goblin? Is it a giant rat woman that's gonna bite your face? I don't know. Neither does my opponent. And Marshall was just like, yeah, your deck seems good.
He's sitting there like, God, look at these Muppets. How did I get assigned to this? But they had a great time because it's such a novel thing compared to the normal
Yeah,
grind
it
out
was a good
whatever.
break.
It really
You
was.
can only talk about Splinter Twin so many times.
Oh my God, no kidding. Or one random combo. But I don't know. Otherwise, there was a ton of other weird stuff to do there. You could buy original art from a couple vendors. I think Rolfellos sold there. I think it had an asking price of like 11,000. I don't think it sold for 11,000, probably less. Silly. There was also like the beta card posters that they had as like a promo thing. Down to
Wait,
like,
oh yeah, that's right. All right, I remember
there was
seeing
like a
that.
set of three of them. One
Yeah,
vendor
yeah.
those, and then there was like community play mats when people won, evening tournaments or like cube champion trophies. Things like that sort, or even community things of canvas prints, and then they wanted people to sign them, and then they put them up
Right.
in their house. So there was a lot of art related things and flavorful things. People just didn't think them as flavor. It's just, oh yeah, please sign my play mat. Oh, which play
Right.
mat? Oh, this is actually one I made for this event through inked play mats. Those sort of, oh yeah, this is a Vorthos thing. I didn't get it at all, but that Vorthos hits the community aspect is something we really shine in,
Right.
and it's just not thought about. It's like, oh yeah, that's just what happens at big events.
Right, right.
We all get a group hug, and we share about this thing, we eat tacos together or whatever, and yeah, I'll have a great time.
Yeah. So, I mean, and that goes back into just the fact that, like, Vorthos is definitely getting a lot of attention and it's definitely growing. And I think part of it is just because there, with the increase in the number of people playing the game, these GPs are getting larger and functioning, like you said, more similar to Lita Khan's, which is just causing more Vorthos-esque things to happen.
Because it's so much easier to add that stuff. It's
Right.
super hard to say, oh, we want to bring in John Avon. Oh, we want to bring in Therese. Oh, we want to bring it. It's like, well, you have to pay for that. Like, you have to pay a
Right.
lot for that sort of additional art
You can't
experience.
do that for a 50-person event or
No,
whatever. Yeah.
absolutely not. But you can say, we got 2,000 people here. We're going to add I don't know, a reading from an Uncharted Realms. Something like that. Someone's gonna read it in
That
on.
would be awesome.
Yeah,
Oh my God, that would be
maybe
so
there's
cool.
even a preview that would come through. And that's a hard coordination with, Wizards PR. But you
Yeah.
could say, all right, you're gonna be on stage at 2:28 p.m. and you're gonna read this one paragraph thing. Someone's gonna hand it to you from the tournament organizer, and you're gonna read it. You get to keep it. after the fact, the little blurby schmurb.
Yeah,
And it's
or just have, like, if some the person who wrote it happens to be there, like, maybe they can just read it. It's just like when an author reads, has a book reading, you know, they just have a reading of their article.
Well, that'd be great.
That'd
I
be
mean,
sick.
they don't generally go to conventions, as we notice.
Well, I would.
Well, okay, cripes. I mean, we were lucky to see a couple people there. I saw Liz Leo, their graphic designer. She
Oh yeah. Yeah,
she works on the foil tree.
Yeah, go ahead, sorry.
You know the foil, how they choose what pops out in foils?
Yeah.
She does that.
Right. Yeah, I was talking to her when we were in Seattle.
Should interview about that. That could be a fun thing.
Yeah, that would be awesome. I'd be really interested in like, because sometimes when you look at the foil, it kind of transforms the art in a different way. It highlights, you know, different things that maybe you wouldn't have paid attention to, or it gives it a very interesting feel.
Sure,
there are definitely some cards that the foil I think are amazing, and I'm not like when it's not foil, it's eh. You know, and then the reverse is true. Like when it's not foil, I love the card, and then the foil's just like, whoa, like what's happening?
Right. I mean, there's a couple that have become almost transcendent because of that. And
yeah, absolutely.
It can
definitely turn a silly common into an insanely amazing card.
Yeah, like guess Gift of Orzhova, the freaking aura.
Yeah. That has, oh my god, with the stained glass.
Glass wings.
Like you looked at that art and you're like, this couldn't possibly get any better. And then you looked at the foil and you're just like, I was so wrong.
Yeah.
Like, oh
that
my
one
god.
Looks so good.
Whoa.
So good. It's just incredible looking. But I mean, she could be a fun person, and she even said, she's like, oh, I'd love to come more of these. And it's like, you know, maybe one creative member per big one would be a neat thing, and then they could, you know, do Vorthosy stuff all weekend with
yeah.
ease.
Dude,
Super.
Even can you imagine if Doug Beyer was there and he did a reading of what was that who did the comic? Sketchy Doodles? The one about blood tea?
Sure.
Like that, oh my god, that would be hilarious. And I guarantee you people would go to that.
There
could
be
so
more.
Quick too, it'd be like a little 15-minute, just like Doug sits down like a little poet on a bar stool.
And
with
just
bongo drums, like in the back, Ari playing bongos in the background.
Well, does it even need to be? It could be a Q&A. It could just
oh,
be
yeah,
a Q&A.
It could just be a Q&A.
That's
yeah,
it.
So basically, like a live version of Voice for Vorthos.
Yeah, entirely.
That
Now,
would
granted,
be pretty cool.
There's certain things you can't answer there, but because you know you get to pick and choose questions.
Oh, yeah,
But
it wouldn't be any different than the QA portion at the end of the PAX panel.
No, not at all. And that could be a really fun, big thing that you could do. Sometime whenever you'd want to emphasize something right after. So for example, if there was a large sealed event where the winner gets dinner with artists, you know, they sometimes have those. That could be like, we're going to finish the Q&A at 6 and that tournament's going to start at 6:15.
Yeah.
That would be so cool. Like super, or even a checkbox thing like you with like pre-releases where you say roll the dice or kill the guy with 20 life or whatever the crap.
Yeah.
And you have to say, I listen to a panel, and maybe there's a stamp you have to get. So it feels more like convention-y, you know?
Yeah, that would be cool. Or even just like, I mean, you could have little side contests like read your favorite flavor text and just whoever reads it, like maybe have a vote or have the, you know, the people there vote, and whoever just had the best reading, then they get a prize or something. Whoever would read the entire song of, you know, day and night, they would just automatically
get
win, probably.
Get some swag or something.
Yeah.
But there could be more haptic things, too, like out in the convention center, like the sticky things in the ground, and then there's a hashtag, and you have to take a picture of it. Or it's in the community somewhere. Like, sometimes it'd be, like, up 2 blocks away. Sometimes maybe it'd be across town.
They kind of did something like that before when you had to hunt the different planeswalkers during what was that, 2014? M2014
yep.
promotion.
But it could be
that was pretty cool.
Anywhere in a town. Because sometimes, you know, they have the PAX party.
Yeah.
It could be, you know, in some sort of symbol around town, and that symbol on the map becomes the expansion symbol in the card. You know, so it's shaped like a knife or an hourglass or something.
Yeah.
Like it could, and that's all flavorful stuff. It's just
sure.
not thinking small to say, oh, we're going to have art and we're going to have a reading from a book. Like, well, yes, we can do that. That's super simple. It's really expanding it out
like
to
really
say,
immersive.
Well, yeah, if we're there for
immersive
4 days,
stuff.
why the hell not do? We're eating out, we're going to different places. There's things to integrate really quietly, kind of like the Jace, the Mind Sculptor, find the pieces. That can be done at a GP in seconds.
Yeah, that's true.
I mean, they already have those where they hide, like, find the booster pack, I'm posting it on Twitter, blah, you know? And it could be all over town, and you have to find, like, flavorful cute clues to get in there.
Hide Funko Pop figures like all over Vegas.
That'd be fantastic. Or wherever. I mean, maybe it's in
Sarkin is
some.
playing the slots. Come
Yeah,
find
right.
him. Ugin
Just ridiculous.
just
Like
got 21.
a Johnny's at the zoo or something
Oh my God, yeah.
in San Diego.
Garrick's
All
at
right.
the
Just
buffet.
killing it. I don't think those things are that hard to integrate, too. I think the cost can be really, really low, but I don't know who does
I
it.
mean, that's more the community team, right? I mean, they kind
Is
of do
it?
that stuff
Is it, though?
already.
Because
I don't know. I feel like, I mean, like Sean Gibbons, he always does a lot. He would wear that bear suit to a lot of different,
Right.
conventions and GPs, and like Allison, they definitely have done similar things like that. At
Sure,
least
but
at PAX and stuff. So I don't know if maybe that would fall to them to do that. I don't really know.
I mean, in other companies, usually there's a convention team. There's someone that's their only job. For things like, I don't know, Paizo, they have PaizoCon. And literally, some people, their job is to do the convention. And there isn't that for Magic because there are no conventions other than these Grand Prix that are having all the time. And organized play organizes them. Yes, I get that. And, PR helps and other things too. But there's not someone that actually says, this is what we want at this convention. That's up to the tournament organizers, really. There's not like a
So
person at Wizards that
in
says,
that
hey,
vein, do you think
sure.
so similar to like BlizzCon, do you think that there is of like viability in having like WizardsCon, where I mean it wouldn't
Yes.
just be so
Yes.
it would be a huge Magic tournament, right? But then there's other stuff, and then also maybe D&D stuff, and their new tabletop game that they just put out, right? That it has Magic
Sure. Well, it
IP.
would have to be all Magic. There's no way you can cross D&D and Magic. That's just.
But what I'm saying is, why not? Like, why couldn't you just do a Wizards convention where it's literally just all of Wizards stuff?
Well, I think they're trying to do that. That's what GP Vegas was, in effect. I mean, 11,000 people doesn't seem like a lot, but you could scale up to 1 billion if you freaking want to. It's a high, very, very high cost to start a con. That's established. I mean, since it's a worldwide game, it's really tough to say, hey, we're not going to be in Ireland this year or ever. Tough. And I get that. San Diego Tech Comic Con will always be in San Diego. That's just the way it is. But some of those things, we have worldwide conventions. We have Grand Prix. Like, legitimately, we bring the con to you all over hell. Why
That's
not
true.
just you? Why not just use that concept? It's just figuring out ways to make it inexpensive to add to the experience. Because if you can say, all right, you need to make more money. All right, okay, sell more stuff. Sure. Maybe there could be a framer on site that you can frame your art immediately, or UPS that has packing peanuts and stuff to say, hey, you don't have to bring that home on the flight. We'll ship it home for you. Or whatever. Look, there's giant oversized cards that are 4 feet by 6 feet. Do you
Get
know how
that through
hard those are to get
security.
home? Those are a bear to get home. So if you start thinking about those, it's not just, yeah, creative team's all going to be there right away. No. It's finding the experiences to keep people there longer, which help the overall bottom line. The problem is it's just hard to prove that connects. To say, all right, we're going to have a framer, we're going to have postage people, we're going to have a printer in case an artist needs extra printing things. We're going to have someone that can do screen printing on site that says, I'm a wizard! Or, like they have it like
Well, yeah, like
Atlantic
what they
Beach
did
or
with that
whatever.
when they made your own token, right? Where you could like
Exactly.
put yourself
Like
in a bear token, stuff like
that
that.
sort of thing. Or take a picture with the tentacle of Emrakul. Or no, it wasn't Emrakul. It was Ulamog back in the day. Like those sort of things that can be expensive, but they don't need to be. The experience can be really, really cheap to do them. And those sort of things are this Vorthos thing. It's just no one really.
Calls it Vorthos.
Yeah, no one calls it Vorthos. No one recognizes it as that. And third, no one really is in charge of that. It's not like there's a creative team person that works with like organized play and brand and PR and tournament organizers and, you know, the community to say, all right, I need GP Strasbourg, France. What do we got in the area? What can we do? What are some stuff we have laying around the office that we could, you know, ship over there to utilize for this thing? What set is coming out? Let's try to make something on site that's fun so people can take selfies with. Weird stuff like that. And I'm just waiting to see that. And I think those sort of things are going to be happening very, very quickly
So
because the
maybe
GP
that's the next
model.
step.
Yeah, because the GP model says, okay, we can scale as big as we want. Sweet. We need people to stay on site longer. Because if my choice is to eat, you know, Marcel's 4-hour sirloin tri-tip steak, how is that going to compete with a side event? Well, depends on the side event, of course, but there's things that they can do there. Maybe there's 15 food trucks right outside. And then, you know, there's flavorful interactions of how there's like a Chandra Bur or Chandra Burger or, you know, a
Where
Jay's
each
Fizzy
food truck
Soda.
is a different plane, and
Yeah,
it,
and it could be all branded and things. Like,
yeah,
super, like,
come eat brains at the Innistrad
yeah, like,
truck.
that just takes a little coordination with
Eat on the
doing that and a
run with
little.
the Mardu, fast food,
And you know they would make a killing doing it
or
too.
Kolagon, I guess.
I mean, you do that at GP Portland, and people are like, "Oh, Portland, you guys are really big into food trucks here." And they're like, "Yes, that's kind of our jam." Like, "Oh,
That'd be cool. So play up a bunch of different food trucks as different planes. That would be pretty
sure."
cool. Yeah.
Like, but
Absolutely.
who is in charge of that?
Yeah.
I don't
So
know.
you're not only playing into the flavor, but you're also playing into the city that you're in.
Correct. And that sort of
That's the key.
chocolate plus peanut butter is tournament organizer working with probably a dedicated wizard staff member. And I'd like to think there's a community member in there involved, but probably not because, you know, community members can be flaky. Unless they're under contract somehow with wizards to do that, which would probably be a tournament organizer person anyway. The problem is when you change tournament organizers, it gets weird. So it could be a freelancer, I guess, maybe. But it's a really interesting concept for me to look at this and be like, oh my God, we can infuse so much more flavor here. Holy crap. Like there was a room that had a stairs and chairs on it, and they had three different streams up on the screen. And I'm like, oh my God, if Magic had a movie, we could screen it right here.
Ooh, that would have been
Like,
cool.
oh my God, this would be so cool. Like you get to see an early preview, or you get to see the first 2 minutes. Or something crazy like that, or you know, you get to see a platinum person that pays extra money or something that they always have a registration. You get to see concept art. You get to see storyboards for the movie, and that's all flavor stuff. But it ties into that idea of speculation and new set hype, which everyone wants. So instead of doing it online, why not just do it in person? We have Twitter and the
It's going to
internet,
go
which are.
online immediately anyway.
Exactly. So why don't you do it in person? Because you can control exactly who sees it
And
at their
when,
right time. So it doesn't leak out early. You just get it right on site. It'd be sweet to see that.
I agree.
Well, it's been great. Had a great time at GP Vegas. That heavy meta crew is really rather fun to hang out with. And there's some secret Vorthoses in there. You really should check them out.
Yeah, I think Maddie is a closet
Well,
Vorthos.
no, they're not even closeted. Like they're totally all in the open now. It's totally legal to do it. Yeah, totally. But you know, per always, people can find me. Not hard to find at Vorthos Mike. Right for Gathering Magic all the time. And Ant, where can they find you?
And I'm at MTG on Twitter, and I'm on Gathering Magic pretty much every week. And you can hit me up there as well. My email is always in every one of my articles.
Awesome. Well, thanks for stopping by, and we'll.
Thanks for
Thanks for
watching.
watching.